This is Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560.
And go to david@creativegoose.com. Don't forget the E's on the end of creative and the E on the end of goose. And .com. And all that kind of good stuff. So anyway, it's just one of those wonderful mornings, unfortunately. I was hoping for some rain this week, but it didn't come. Well, maybe in the future. The weather reports are not very promising, so I'll wait till I get another report.
I'll keep praying for rain.
Hey, there was a saint that prayed for rain about a couple of weeks ago, and we really had a deluge. So if that person that did pray for rain, do it again, please. Do it again, please. Anyway, we're in the middle of a beginning of the program. Middle of the beginning. Never mind. It's one of those things. If you'd like to call in, that's 1-415-808-5600. In the meantime, let's get the scoop on all of the good things going on in the Bay Area about gardening. Here is Edie.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It's 808-5600 to call in, 415 area code. So get your questions up there. And then also, you can also at any time go to bobtanum.com to get links and interesting things to think about and do, how to prune certain things, and even watch a video on rose pruning given by Bob Tanum to my son Miguel. So much fun. All right, so here we go with the festival stuff, because it's that time of year. We've got Gamble Gardens in Palo Alto on Friday on the 3rd and on Saturday the 4th, 1431 Waverly Street, Festival of Trees. There's one event, 10 to 3. It's a little confusing, but anyway, it's at gamblegarden.org for more information. And you can look for a Festival of Trees tickets. And there's also bake sale, wreath sale, family night, and more. All sorts of things. And it's the event by Bay Area Events and Places for Kids and Families. Also on December 4th, there's Sleigh Bell Rings. That's a daytime holiday event, and that's a $30 fee. So go to gamblegarden.org for more information. Again, they're in Palo Alto. Laurel and Cherry Street, and this is in San Carlos, is having snow sleigh rides and carolers and all sorts of fun stuff December 3rd. That's the lighting of the holiday lights. It's from 5 to 8:30. So that's an outdoor event on the streets of San Carlos. Living Wreath Workshop with Succulents by Noel DiMartini and Sweet Peas Boutique in Vacaville. They're at 891 Alamo Drive. This is happening December 4th from 10 to 11:30 on Saturday. And you want to get tickets at noeldemartinidesigns.com and find out more information there as well. So that's Noel with an E, N-O-E-L-L-E, demartinidesigns.com. Sunday, December 5th from 10 to 3, plant sale at St. Charles Street in Alameda. This is a plant sale to help the Friends of Alameda Animal Shelter. So that's happening December 5th on Sunday from 10 to 3. So if you're near that location, it just says St. Charles Street in Alameda, then go on down there and get some plants that'll help the animals, animal shelter. Urban composting, tickets at Eventbrite. Look for Garden for the Environment. So go to Eventbrite, look for Garden for the Environment, and they are having this on December 4th, but that's the last of the season. But they also have other events that will also be in person. They're at 1590 7th Avenue in San Francisco. Give them a call for more information at 415-558-8246, 415-558-8246. The Fair Oaks Horticultural Center is having a light display walkthrough and gardens thing December 6th through December 27th. It is free, but a donation of canned food is accepted. And this is sponsored by the UC Master Gardeners of Sacramento County. So you can go to get more information at SACMG, so that's Sacramento Master Gardeners, .ucanr.edu. SACMG.ucanr.edu. All right, so that's Master Gardeners in Sacramento. Wednesday, December 8th, Prudent Winter Pruning. So by Lingzhou Garden Materials, Inc. This is online, and it'll be happening Wednesday, December 8th. And they are located to go shopping for garden materials at 345 Shore Way Road in San Carlos. For this event, you want to go to eventbrite.com and look for Lingzhou, L-Y-N-G-S-O, Garden Materials. And you can find out about all of their events coming up. That's happening from 1 to 3, December 8th on Wednesday. And that's a beginning class on pruning, so lots of information can be had there. Also at Filoli, they're having their their winter events, their decoratings, and they have all sorts of fun stuff. My dad and mom went there a couple of times, I don't know, at least once, I know, to see their Christmas display, and they were just knocked over.
Decadent,
yes. So that will be happening all the way through the holiday season. Give them a call for more information, 650-364-8300, 650-364-8300. They're located at 86 Kenyatta Road in Woodside. 86 Kenyatta Road in Woodside. Go to filoli.org for tickets, filoli.org. All right, that sounds like fun. And let me see here. The Ruth Bancroft Gardens is also having their Garden of Delight, and that will be happening all through the holiday season up to January 2nd. And they are located at 1552 Bancroft Road in Walnut Creek, 1552 Bancroft Road, Walnut Creek. Go to ruthbancroftgarden.org for tickets, etc. ruthbancroftgarden.org. So that will be coming up. Last but not least, we've got the Vertical Gardening Do-It-Yourself class. That's tonight at Succulents in San Francisco. And they're located at 402 Cortland Avenue, I believe it is, in San Francisco. You can also give them a call at 415-282-2212 and 415-282-2212. They're also open during the day from 10 to 5:30. 5:30 is when the event starts. 5:30 to 7:30. They usually have a little wine and cheese, etc. That's all part of the event. And you can also find out more information at www.thesucculence.com. So S-U-C-C-U-L-E-N-C-E. And one last thing here is Sloat Garden Centers are always having webinars that you can find links for to find out what to do in your winter garden, sloatgardens.com. All right, have fun, you guys. Call in.
Yeah, our number is 1-415-808-5600. A couple of little notes that I have, and while I'm waiting for your calls to come in, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We did. Edie had her first Thanksgiving dinner at her home. That was very excellent. It was really good. She even did the stuffing perfectly fine. She finally found the gizzards and stuff. After that, I think they were cooked in the turkey with the stuffing. Well, we all learn and do things like that.
Man, they were frozen inside.
Oh, that was interesting. I was there. I stumbled around. Getting into her house is somewhat of a challenge for a guy that has a cane, but I had help, and that worked out pretty well. And I got home safely and had a good dinner, and it was just a jolly old time. Anyway, our numbers, if you'd like to call in, tell us about your Thanksgiving that was unique and different. Maybe this year is something you've never done before. I know we did that with Edie, and we'll see what happens in the future with other things. I am planning my normal family dinner at Christmas Eve. And let's see, when they don't show up, they're out of my will. Yeah. You know, it's funny. Bev and I have done that for so many years. And I really missed it last year, although we did have part of the family there, and I really appreciate that. So there's a couple of important days. But what I really need this morning, a couple of calls coming in, 1-415-808-5600. Now, if you're still throwing your banana peels away, stop it. Take it away. You know, gardens at in San Francisco in the Botanical Garden, they have one of my former ownership of a staghorn fern. And all of a sudden, I saw a picture of that in one of their brochures. And I thought, that's mine. Look at that thing. Little story with that was that I used to do a lot of garden shows in, at the county fairs. You know, I did Marin County and did Santa Rosa and I did Alameda. So I did all of that. Alameda was a real challenge because I had to travel an hour and a half over and another hour and a half back. And when the last year I participated in the Alameda one, we hit a bump in the road with the truck and all the plants fell around. It was a mess. But then we survived it. The first time I ever got a second, I was mortified. There's prize money, and that I didn't get the amount of money. So I lost money on that fair, but most of the time I did pretty good. In fact, I won Best of the Show several times in Marin County. Well deserved, of course, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, before I get involved with all the other stuff I'm going on, I think I ought to take a break, pay for the program. And if you don't call in by then, I'm just going to look at all sorts of other stuff that maybe you want to look at. My goodness sake, there is somebody with it. Hey, Kara in El Dorado Hills. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Bob. Thank you for your show.
Sure.
My question is, when do you cut back or have somebody cut back your rose bushes? What time of year? Japanese maples?
Okay. Well, I like January. And the reason is normally all the leaves, especially on the roses and the Japanese maples, are gone.
Okay.
Right now, they haven't gone. So that's another thing that you want to check out. So, Kira, I would wait till January. Don't be too eager. And, of course, this year the leaves haven't fallen yet. I know all the Japanese maples I'm looking at in my community still have their leaves. So you really can't do a decent job on any of these things. And on Japanese maples, I would email me for special instructions on what to do with Japanese maples. I have a little spiel that I could direct you to, so you can do that. Also, on my website, there is a rose pruning demo with my grandson. So you might want to check into that. So that's bobtanum.com.
Bob Tanum. Yeah. And that's T-A-N-U-M?
E-M.
Oh, T-A-N-E-M.
Bob, okay. You know, Bob, you know how to spell Bob. It's spelled the same backwards and forwards.
Okay, and bobtanum.com, and that's it.
That's it?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you for the call, and thanks for listening. Okay, Jim and Ann and George, just hang on. I got to take that break now. Though we'll do that right now. This is Bob Tanum in the Garden Talk, Radio 560 KSFO.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSF.
560 with Bob Tanum in the Garden. And we're going to go to Jim in Burlingame. Hi there, Jim.
Hey, Bob. Listen, I got a question for you. My son bought a home recently up in Sacramento, and he's replacing his lawn. And I wanted to get your perspective on what soil preparation should be done in order to, you know, optimize the appropriate, conditions for weed proofing and that sort of thing. I'm sure it's probably on your website, but I just thought I'd call it in.
Yeah, it's not on my website because I don't, it's funny. I like lawns, but I don't want to replace them, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, Jim, what he has to do now, rent a lawn scrape thing. It's a lawn remover, basically. And go to a rental thing and tell them what you want, and they'll be able to do that. What it does is take the first inch of soil, roots, and all of the lawn out, and you just roll it up and throw it away. Or put it in a compost pile or something like that. You want to get rid of that. What's the condition of the lawn he has now?
It's it was green, but it's a mixture of some natural.
Yeah, it's a weedy kind of crap. Okay,
yeah.
Got it. So Yeah, he wants to take that first inch of stuff off, because all of the bad seeds, all of the dandelions, all the whatever, the only thing it will not take out is a Bermuda grass, if he has that. That you'll have to live with. But anyway, you take that off. Then you go in and rough up the soil. I don't think necessarily you have to rototill.
Okay.
Because a lawn already has broken up the soil beneath that weed barrier, the original lawn. And so once you do that, you have a bare ground, and you can rake and scrape it a little bit, but I don't think you have to go into rototilling or plowing it up and things like that. Because the lawn existed and the roots are already there to break up whatever soil that was there before. Then what I would do is to reseed with a good fescue grade material. There's a lot of good ones out there, and I go to a real nursery. I think I can't remember all of the ones up in. He's in Sacramento.
Yeah, that's
right. Go to a real nursery. There are. God, I used to be able to talk to all those people in Sacramento about those things, but anyway, I don't remember it. I don't have to. But anyway, go to a real nursery. I don't mean Home Depot and that type of thing, because they really normally don't have any expert there. But go to a nursery, and they will give you a program for reseeding and give a good seed. That is the key. And oftentimes you have to cover it over with, not peat moss, but something, planting mix or something like that. But they'll tell you how to do it.
Perfect.
Okay.
Excellent, Bob. Thank you very much.
Jim, we try. Okay, and thank you so much for calling and listening. I love it. Ann is in Campbell. Hi there, Ann.
Oh, hi, Bob. I wanted to ask your opinion. I have a fig tree that came up by itself in the dirt, and I potted it in a 3-gallon pot about 2 years ago. It's doing well. Of course, it's losing its leaves now, but it's never produced any figs. But I want to put it in a bigger pot.
Lucky you.
I know you don't like figs, but I love them. And I want to put it in a bigger pot and hope that maybe that'll encourage it to produce some figs. And I just wondered if this is the wrong time of year to do that.
Normally, with the foliage off, no, you can go right ahead and do that. Why don't you put it in the ground? Or don't you have space?
Well, I had a big one in the ground, and, it was there for like 20 years, and it stopped producing figs, and then the roots, I guess I didn't plant it deep enough, and the roots started coming up, and I had it taken out. And I just don't have a lot of space in the backyard, and that's why I put it in a pot.
Oh, okay.
And the farmer's market I go to, they have some plant people, and she always has fig trees in pots, and they always have figs on them. I said, what do you do? I don't know why I can't get any figs. Do you think when they come up by themselves that they would never produce figs?
The possibility is exactly that. But normally figs just produce figs all the time. They do it twice a year, once in the spring and once in the fall. And the ones in the fall are sort of iffy, but the ones in the spring are usually when people gather them. For many times. But anyway, they need a root system, basically. And if you, you have a 3-gallon pot?
Possibly right now, but I'm going to put it in one of those go ahead.
Half tubs? What,
right.
Half barrel or something? Oh, okay. The real thing here is to have a good soil and fertilize. They really respond to alfalfa pellets.
Okay, I'll get that. And I use G&B all the time, so that should be good, don't you think? And I have one other question to ask you. Two weeks ago, I sent you a picture of bugs on the email, and I couldn't put it in Compose. I just sent it on regular email, but I did put Garden on there, and I just wondered if you received it.
I don't recall right now. But if you put Garden on it, usually it doesn't get into the spam folder. I'm almost giving up on the spam folder because there's 175 every single morning I get in there and go to my web email. And I religiously go through that, but then I'm getting to the point where by the time I get out of bed, take a shower and all the rest of it and have breakfast and stuff like that, it's almost noon. You know, 91, what do you expect?
No, at any age, it takes forever to get rid of all that junk. It takes me half an hour every morning before I get my messages or pick them out because there's so much junk on there. It's a horror story.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I thank you so much. I'm going to resend those pictures because this bug is unusual. It looks like scale, but in the middle, it's dark. And it's easy to kill, but, you know, I have this, like, atrium, and it's just attacking everything in there. I'm constantly bringing my plants inside and debugging them.
Yeah,
so,
put garden question. Garden question is the key. I always look at those.
Garden
I don't
question,
care if they're
do that.
Okay, because I normally don't get into the spam folder, so I'll let you know that, okay?
Thank you so much, Bob. I'm very grateful, and have a good one.
Okay, and so far so good, except that I'd like to see rain. Go pray for rain today, okay? All right, Ann, thanks for the call. We're still looking for people to call 1-415 then 808-5600. One of the other things I think I mentioned, banana peel, do keep that. Oh, yeah, I was just talking about the over at the San Francisco Botanical Gardens. They have the, I don't know if that's the right name or correct name. Yeah, it is. I'll just make it that way. Anyway. I declare that that is a botanical garden. Anyway, they do have my old staghorn fern. And the story with that was that it was given to my son, Bill, as one of our little garden shows that we were putting in Marin County. And it stuck around for a while, and then Bill went off to college and a few things like that. So he lost interest in it, and I just kept it and kept it going. And then I started throwing banana peels at the, you know, in that hollow spot behind the fern, and it fell off the board, and I continued. So I drilled holes in the face of the thing to attach it to the board so it would never fall off again, and it just got so big. My God, it was about 5 feet, 4.5 feet across, and about 2 feet deep. It was huge, and I really didn't have a place to keep it. So I phoned the botanical garden. I said, are you interested? And they said, well, yeah, we could probably divide it up and do all sorts of things. And I said, well, I really don't care what you do with it, but, it's yours. So they came over, picked it up, and they said, my goodness sakes, it's big. And I said, well, that's told you that. And so they finally put it in their little cart. So the other, it's about maybe a year ago, I saw a picture of it, and it was huge. They have it in a special place over at the botanical garden. It's sort of nice like that. Let's go to Teresa in Ripon. Hi there, Teresa.
Hello, Bob. I was my tangerines have something looking like black soot on them, and I just was wondering what it is and what to do about it.
Okay, you have to look a little bit closer because you're describing something that is called citrus mite residue.
Okay.
So I would get some neem oil and spray it.
All right. Okay, Bob. I will do it. Okay.
Do it, and
thank
I think
you
you'll find it. That'll go away. And so, all right, I got to take a break right now. So Lynn, George, and Henry, just hang on. This is Bob Tanum in the Garden, and it is Talk Radio.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
we're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Go to Lynn in Oakland. Hi there, Lynn.
Good morning. Good morning, Bob. I finally decided that you might have a thought on this. I have a row of small pittosporum trees along my fence, and I've always thought they should be a hedge. And every 2 or 3 years, I have them cut all the tree tops off them, and they never turn into a hedge. Nothing grows below the head of the tree. And
you wouldn't know the varieties.
Really, Bob Tanum
in the garden.
I'm sorry. What was that? Who's that guy on my program? I need to know the variety, Lynn.
Oh.
Well, could you send me a picture? Could you
I can send you a picture. You mean you could tell from the leaf, huh?
Yeah.
That is correct. And then I could give you some really sound advice how to do that. It may be, there are some varieties that are trees that won't bring new foliage from the base. And it may be one of those. So,
yeah, you may. I'm sure you're right about that. I will send you the details. But I was encouraged because this year I fed them with some Miracle-Gro, and they got really bushy. And I said, well, maybe there's a chance here. Yeah.
Well, continue with that. If something works, well, do it. When people say organic, it's a big confusing term because there are some materials out there that I could recommend that aren't necessarily organic, but they won't be atmospherically deadly. And those are some of the things that I can recommend. And some of them have a bad rap, sort of like Roundup. It has a everybody gets scared with that term, but I don't. And if it's properly used, it's a very excellent product. So, Lynn, those are my recommendations. But send me a link, and then maybe I can give you some more concrete material to work with.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you so much.
So, well, that's why I'm here. You take care. All right, bye. David is in Millbrae. David, hi.
Hi, Bob. Thank you for your show. Enjoy it immensely. I ordered some irises, and they were saying that plant it in a well-drained soil. What is considered well-drained soil?
There is no such thing in California.
I thought so. And the thing was, what the hell is? Oh, excuse me. I used to be an ex-Navy guy.
No, that's a geographical location. You can say hell all the time.
Okay, I can say purgatory too. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, so there's no such thing as a well-drained soil. I mean, basically, I thought it was more like wood.
Now, what kind of virus are you talking, David? What kind of virus are you talking about?
Oh, gosh.
okay.
I don't know the variety, but the thing is that I order from Holland. So,
well, that could be only 27,000 varieties of virus. David, what I would recommend is if they are flag iris, which is probably the one you're talking about, they really don't require a hell of a lot of different kinds of drainage. Just don't overwater them. That's the mainly thing.
Right.
Okay, here's how to tell it. If you have decent drainage, dig a hole, fill it up with water, and if it's still full of water at 24 hours later, you do not have good drainage.
Okay.
Got it?
Okay. Well, you know, we're living in an area where it's all clay. So,
yeah, well, that's not good drainage, but then it will stop. It will go through, and there's a lot of products like that will make water wetter and will drain, force the clay to drain. So that's another situation. And
yes, go ahead.
Some of our oak trees live in areas with very bad drainage, and clay doesn't. It takes a long time to absorb water. But it holds on to that water all through the summer when we have a Mediterranean climate. And so our oak trees thrive in that kind of situation. Now, last year was a little stinty because they didn't quite get enough rain. And that was true of a lot of gardens in the whole area. So it's a term that, is loose. And most of these people write for Eastern or Midwestern areas where their drainage is excellent. So that gives that's my opinion anyway. All right?
Okay. Well, one question I have. Someone said that you should mix the clay with gizm and it will break up the soil like a clay. Is that correct?
I don't agree with it. Okay. I do not like gypsum. I do like horse manure, something with a lot of grainy kind of soil material in it. Because that actually will break up the soil and increase the better drainage. Okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your and go Cal.
Go Cal. You got it. Did they? What was the score yesterday?
Oh gosh, I don't recall. I'm 7 years old, so my brain is worse than yours.
Hey, my brain's okay. So and I'm 91. So don't give me that crap. All right.
I just enjoy Cal. That's all.
Yeah, I do too. I they did win the big game, so I don't care about the rest of the season. Yeah, anyway, David, thank you for that call.
I live close to Stanford, so I always have to hear them yapping about how good they are.
Yeah, I know they all. Well, they have never mind. I don't want to go there. This is not a sports program. This is a garden program. So we'll go from there. All right, David, thanks for the call. And thanks for listening, all you people. Let's go to Rob in San Martin. Hi there, Rob. Rob.
I'm going to ask you about some black oak trees that I have. They're beautiful old trees. But they have mistletoe, and they have for a number of years. And I've just had someone come and cut it back to the branches. But you know, I've been doing some reading about other ways to control it, and I was just wondering about your opinion on how to control mistletoe.
Yeah, Rob, there is a spray put out by Monterey Lawn and Garden products. Go to MontereyLawnGarden.com, and they have a spray that will work with mistletoe. I think it's called fruit something. I can't. It's okay.
Well, I found online something called Ethathon, and it said Monterey Floral Brand.
Yeah, something like that. Well, just go online. Go to MontereyLawnGarden.com. And they will direct you to the product that will get that material, prevent it from getting all over the place. You know, it's toxic. And, of course, if you ever read, and yet birds eat the little berries, and it doesn't bother them. But if you were going to eat, well, I don't think anybody wants to eat mistletoe anyway, but it's deadly to any person, warm-blooded person or animal. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
but it's okay, unsightly, and you shouldn't have it in your trees, especially black oak. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I found two articles from UC. One is from Davis and the other from Berkeley. And they talk about this ethathon, and they talk about cutting it back and then putting black plastic around it to cut off the sunlight and also to cut it to stubs and then put that spray you're referring to, the Ethathon. Mm-hmm. And so it's just that, you know, it's a matter of access. The guy has to climb up in the tree.
Yeah, right.
And he can only reach so far. And, you know, ideally you could just cut the branch a foot below where it's growing, but it would really ruin the shape of the tree. So
sure.
Yeah.
It's not deadly to the tree. So, no, it'll be there and it will multiply in the tree. So my recommendation is not to worry about people climbing into the thing and doing all that kind of thing. If you can get a spray jigger up there and spray the stuff with that, I can't remember the name, dang, the material, Florel is the name. Yeah. Florel, and spray it with that. It will prevent any further infestation.
Okay, yeah. It's just a matter of getting someone up near it to, because they're big trees. And so.
Yeah, I know what an oak tree looks like. Yeah. I've had several of them on my property in San Rafael. And
these are black oaks, and they're like 70 years old, so they're huge. Yeah. But okay.
I had one in the nursery that was 450 years old, and they cut it down, and it was just devastating to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, that's terrible. Okay, Bob, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And Rob, thank you for listening. I really enjoy it. Let's go to Bonnie in San Francisco. Hello there.
Hello, Bob. Yes, I have a plum tree, and I noticed yesterday that there's a lot of green moss on it, and also it looks like, lichen or something on it, on the branches. Could you tell me if that's a bad sign?
The stuff on the branches could be gray moss, which is probably just an indication of too much moisture in the air around the branches. I wouldn't be overly concerned. Does this produce a lot of plums?
Well, last year it didn't because of, we didn't have much water, but the year before it did. But when I see lichen hanging down on it, some of the older branches, I wonder if that means they're beginning to die.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It does mean that you have a lot of moisture in the air, and the bromeliad you call lichen is probably harmless to the tree. But when you prune it in January, February, I would spray it with liquid copper.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's my recommendation on that particular problem, because I don't think it's a real problem. But it is an indication that there's a lot of moisture in the air around those particular parts of the plant.
Okay. I just wondered. It looked a little strange, and I thought I'd better call you, see what you had to say. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I appreciate my listeners, and Bonnie, you take care, okay? We're going to take a little break right now and get back to all of the other things. So if you'd like to call in, you've got another 15 minutes to do it. This is Bob Tanum in the Garden Talk, Radio 560, and it is KSFO.
You're listening to Bob Tanum.
We do have openings right now, so you could call in at 1-415-808-5600. In the meantime, let's go to Sue in Fremont. Hi there, Sue.
Hi, Bob. I was looking at a ground cover yesterday, and then it's called Glechoma variegata. And I was wondering whether there was whether that would work in a shaded area.
Did you spell that? I'm trying to think. It doesn't make. I can't quite encompass as to what it looks like. Yeah.
Okay, so it's Glechoma, and variegata.
Variegata.
Yeah. Hmm. So the leaf is,
is it sort of gray?
It's sort of a combination of gray and white. And the leaves are, it's low growing, of course.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
1 inch. It looked really nice, and I'd never heard of it before. So maybe I need to call you. I mean.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to put it into my brain catalog and ground covers. woo. Actually, Sue, I think the better way to handle that one is to, send me an email on it.
Okay.
BobTanum@AOL.com and say garden on your email, so on the subject matter, so I don't get it into the spam folder.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of favorite ones that I have, and these are this was supposedly growing in the shade.
Yeah. It was in the shade of the, at the nursery.
Well, they put everything in the shade in the nurseries, including Japanese
right.
maples. So I don't think I'm going to have to think about that one, but I can't really. Yeah, send me an email. I can give you a better answer.
Okay.
I have some really great ground covers for those areas. There's it's a Myoporum that's a prostrate variety, and I've been watching this, and it's at a house that the guy never waters anything, and it's in full sun, and my goodness, it's beautiful. So I'm really impressed with that one, but I'm not sure it would grow in shade. So anyway, Sue, send me an email, and I can get a better answer to you. Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bob.
Thank you. Let's go to Linda in Novato. Hi there, Linda.
Hi, Bob. I have a problem with my coleus. I have many, many plants in pots all over my yard, but the actual leaves are getting eaten up like a whole half a leaf. There's no sign of slugs or snails. There's no little slime lines at all around it. I have occasionally seen a very small black beetle. Could that be it? And what do I do? It's weird because I've never had this, and it's not attacking any other plants.
Do you have any rabbits in the area? Do you have any rabbits in? Rabbits? You know what rabbits is? Long ears, go hoppity hippity hop.
No, I haven't seen anything like that at all.
Okay,
backyards with fences and all that.
You know. Okay, all right. So, the whole plant disappears. No, you're talking about the whole plant disappears or just a leaf here and there?
No. You know how coleus can have big leaves and mine are gorgeous. And a whole half leaf, like 4 inches of it, it disappears in the next day.
That's got to be an animal. That is an animal, Linda. Okay. It is an animal of some sort.
Bugs only
eat a leaf. They leave holes and stuff like that. But no insect that I know of could possibly take the top out.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So
I'm not sure what you could do about it. Pardon me.
It's weird because it doesn't attack other leaves. It's only the coleus, and I have quite a few in all different colors.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could send me a picture. Maybe I could give a better answer, but it doesn't. That sounds like an animal.
Okay. I didn't even consider that. Okay. Thank you.
Well, now you are. You know, the hawks haven't controlled the population of rabbits this year in Novato. I'm well aware of this. And so somehow or other, the hawks have gone somewhere else. But I'm delighted. I'm not particularly happy with that. But that's why I think it's got to be an animal.
I have a lot of crows around. I wonder, you know, those big black birds. I guess they're crows.
They're crows or they're hawks or whatever. They're not really. No, they wouldn't bother that. They're more insect oriented and that kind of thing. So, okay.
Well, thank you. Have wonderful holidays. I always appreciate your information. Thank you so
well,
much.
Well, we try. I try. Okay, Linda, thank you so much. And welcome. Let's go to Cheryl in San Bruno. Hi there. Cheryl.
I keep feeding. We have a dwarf apple. And should we keep feeding it during the winter?
Cheryl, I think that for fruit trees, now is the time to put out something like alfalfa pellets and chicken manure. That would be my recommendation. Because they're basic organic fertilizers, which means that the tree only will take up what it really needs rather than being forced like a chemical.
Okay. And how about like asparagus and artichoke?
Artichokes need a lot of water, so I would continue to water the artichokes. Asparagus should already be set because we did have about 3 inches of rain not too long ago, and so that should be adequate.
Okay, and should I give them the blood meal during the winter?
For asparagus. Yeah. Oh, I would. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
Also, you know, artichokes would probably benefit from that as well. Now, they're sort of going to slow down until maybe January, February. And then January, February is when I would put the blood meal out for the asparagus. For the artichokes. I'm sorry.
Okay.
For the artichokes. Yeah. Okay.
And for the asparagus, too?
Yeah, both of them.
Both. Okay.
I have a chart on what to do with asparagus year-round. And I think the planting part is probably the thing that most people ignore.
Okay. They did all right last this will be the second year, but they made asparagus and huge ferns. So they're still going.
Okay. That's great. Well, you would, right now on the asparagus, you should cut that fern off.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Very good. Thank you, Bob.
Well, thank you. You take care. All right, bye-bye. Meryl is in Mountain View. Hi there, Meryl.
Good morning. I can tell that lady what is eating her coleus. It's squirrels, because they're eating everything right now because they're hungry. They're eating my impatience and my Gerber daisies. They love those things. And, yep, they're out there. And everybody's got squirrels.
Yeah. Now, the key is if they are tree squirrels or the bushy tail squirrels, there's one way to handle that. If they're not really dangerous, but if they're ground squirrels, that's a totally different subject, and they are very, very, very dangerous. So I'll let you know that.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.